The final line of today's second reading is very important for all of us because, in a sense, this one sentence summarizes the whole Christian vocation. Conduct yourselves in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ. Simple sentence, but really it describes what the calling is for every single one of us, each according to our situation in life, certainly, each of us according to our particular vocation and circumstance, yes. But it is really the call of everyone to conduct our lives, conduct ourselves in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ. But our first reading today from the prophet Isaiah reminds us very powerfully that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, God's ways are not our ways. And so the challenge for us is the challenge to learn God's thoughts and God's ways so that we can take on, God's thoughts can become our thoughts, God's ways can become our ways. That's also the challenge of the gospel. How do we do that? Well, certainly a major part of that is by taking very seriously the scriptures. We hear at the end of each reading, the word of the Lord. We say, thanks be to God. This is the way the Lord communicates with us. This is the way the Lord speaks to us. This is the way God's thoughts are shared with us. And so we have a serious responsibility, every single one of us, not only to listen to the scriptures, but to reflect on them, to study them, to pray them, so that God's thoughts may more and more become our thoughts, so that as we live, God's way can become more our ways. And so to attend to the Word of God is very important. Along with that, I think, is to look to people who are conducting their lives in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ. And so we have, as one example, St. Paul. And he speaks to us as someone for whom God's thoughts have become his thoughts, God's ways have become his ways. So he's a wonderful example to us and challenges us with God's thoughts and God's ways that he is trying to live. And so he says something pretty startling in our reading today. For me, life is Christ and death is gain. I long to depart this life and be with Christ, for that is far better. That's a profound statement, and it's very challenging. And it certainly is very different than our usual way of thinking. It seems to me that everything that we see around us values a nice, long life. For everyone in general, long, healthy, active, wonderful. But especially for ourselves. Isn't it interesting, as our life goes on, that our practical definition of what old is continues to lengthen? You know, and isn't it usually always at least 10 years older than we are? Because that's the way we think about things. And practically speaking, so many of us kind of like to think about that we're going to kind of live forever, you know, and that life is just going to kind of keep on going. And yes, we're going to get older, but it's going to keep on going. Paul is giving us a very different perspective. He reminds us that the purpose of our life is not found in this life, found in this world. That the real goal, the ultimate goal for all of us, is to be with the Lord, and that should be the goal. And also, Paul is saying the desire for every Christian, for every follower of Christ. Paul doesn't have a death wish here. He is not depressed. He is not bummed out on life. He is focused on what the ultimate goal is to be with the Lord. Which is why he can say, that's what I long for. And all of us should if we have taken on God's thoughts and God's ways. But then Paul goes on to say, but yet, while I remain in the flesh, that's important for your benefit, because that means fruitful labor for me. So what is this life about? It is about serving God and about serving God's people. And that's the vision for our life right here and right now, according to St. Paul. And so do we see ourselves in this life as living for the Lord? Do we see ourselves in this life as being called to serve God's people? And that's what our life is really about, in the ordinary things of everyday life, and also this charitable and service things that we do, you know, that we kind of think about as godly work. All of it is about the service of God. Is that not thinking God's thoughts? And is that not the path for us to live God's ways? That has practical consequences for us about how we think and how we go about living our everyday life. And the gospel today is really a very good example of that, because it's so real and so concrete. And this is a classic gospel that all kinds of people don't like and they have problems with. And most everybody that I've ever encountered with this gospel kind of agree with the guy who worked all day and said, there's something basically wrong about this story. It's really not fair. They agree. And yet, when we dig into the story and we think about it, the landowner is exactly right in his response. He said, wait a minute. You and I made an agreement. The agreement was, you're going to work all day, and I'm going to pay you the going daily rate. Isn't that what we agreed on? Well, yeah. This is okay, so you worked all day. Yes. Okay, and then I just paid you, and you got paid the usual daily rate, didn't you? Well, yes. So is there anything unfair about that? Well, no. And yet we hear the guy saying, and we kind of agree with him, but that guy only worked for an hour. He got paid the same with me. That's not fair. Well, the owner comes back with two things there. He says, first of all, this is my money, right? I'm the one who makes the decisions, right? Now, I didn't cheat you. We just agreed on that. So since it's my money and my decision, why can't I decide that I'm going to pay him for a full day's work, even though he didn't do it? I'm free to do that, am I not? Well, you kind of have to say yes to that. So what's going on? What's going on is the guy who worked all day saw what he got paid, and he was thinking about a bonus. If he worked an hour and got paid all day, well, I worked, you know, he worked an hour, got paid for a whole day. I worked all day, so how about a bonus, a little tip for my good work all day long? Makes sense, doesn't it? What's that about? Maybe what happened is the guy who worked all day got a little greedy. He wanted more. And isn't that so normal and so human? It would be nice to have more. And that's exactly what consumer culture is all about. That's what advertising is all about. New iPhone just got released. Newer and better, and so go out and get it. Yeah, it's a little more expensive, but, you know, it's greater. What's that about? More. We want more. And don't we call that greed? The worker who worked an hour got a full day's pay. The guy who worked all day kind of looked at that and said, hey, that is a good deal. I wish I could do that. Work for an hour, get paid for a day? Very nice. Well, the owner calls him on that too, doesn't he? He says, so are you envious? Envious because he worked for an hour and got paid for a whole day, and you had to work all day to get paid for all day? A little envy here going on? Or maybe you're envious of me because I have the money to make those kind of decisions and the freedom to make the decisions. Are you envious because of that? Good question for us. And doesn't our society and culture like to look at that? And don't we see that again and again? Because we're comparing ourselves, you know, and about the person who is better, the person who is more successful, the person who has a better job, the person who gets a better salary, the person who has more friends, the person who is more popular, the person who takes better trips and better vacations, the person who dines out, the person who is handsomer, more beautiful than I am, blah, 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 blah. What's it about? Better. And we don't like it. And so what is the temptation? Envy. Envy. And the gospel reminds us very powerfully, those are not God's thoughts. Those are not God's ways. The gospel, I think, also gives us one other lens to be thinking about our lives. And that's the owner's decision making. Because we have to remember in the story, everybody in the story is a day laborer. They're living day by day. They're having to work day by day. And the usual daily wages is exactly what that person needs day by day. And the owner knows that. And what is his decision? His decision is to pay them based on what they need, not on how much they produce or how much they do. And see, that's a completely different way of thinking about things. Because our system is work for pay. And the argument always is, if you are more productive, if you are more important, if your contribution is more difficult and it needs a special kind of person to do it, well, then you should be paid more. And you get paid based on your work. So if you work more, you should get paid more. If you don't work so much, you should get paid less. That's our system. The owner says, no, let's look at what people need. And I will pay that worker, even though he's only worked an hour at the end of the day, what I know he needs for himself and for his family today. It's a completely different system, but it's God's thoughts and God's way. And it challenges us to think about that. You know, today we have second collection for Catholic Communications. That's an ongoing kind of need, and so we can give and support that. But next weekend is another emergency second collection for Hurricane Irma. You're going to hear that in the announcements. Now, we have seen the pictures. We know the stories about what Irma did in the Caribbean and in Florida. We also are very aware of what had happened in Puerto Rico and some of the other Caribbean islands from Hurricane Maria, who followed right after. Now, I haven't heard anything about an emergency collection for Maria. I wouldn't be surprised if either it gets rolled into next week's collection or there's another appeal for Hurricane Maria's victims. We've seen it. We know what those needs are. How do we give? We want to give something because we know they need help. And that's a good thing. But what basis, how much, is the question. And on what basis are we making that decision? Certainly based on what we have and what we can afford. But beyond that, how do we do it? A lot of people who want to give something, and so they look at their wallet, and they think about, well, this is what I usually give for this thing, and so I want to make a decision, you know, and so they give something, and they feel good about it because they've helped out. Nothing wrong with that. But the deeper question is, what do they need? And think about our own experience. If it was for a family member, how would we give? If it was for a friend or a coworker, someone we knew, how would we give? If it was something happened on the next street in the neighborhood, how would we give? Would we make that decision in the same way or in a different way? See, that's the landowner's thinking, is about what they need. And so it offers a very practical challenge to us about how we give. And I think that's what it means for us to listen to the challenge of the gospel, the challenge of the scripture, so that God's thoughts can slowly become our thoughts, that God's ways can slowly become our ways, so that step by step and day by day, we can conduct ourselves in a way that truly is worthy of the gospel of Christ.